episode of Getting Off the Hamster Wheel, how to find a career that brings you joy, fulfillment, and success. My name is Karen Weeks, and for those of you who don't know me, my passion is helping people get unstuck from a career that's no longer fulfilling and find one that is, which, by the way, also re-energizes all areas of your life. I'm also a career changer myself, making the change from theater to HR and even recently into coaching. Before we jump into today's episode, I want to share some exciting news. I just announced my first group coaching program, Transform Your Career. Over 12 weeks, I will help you get unstuck from a career that you either aren't loving anymore, feel burned out, or feel like you've plateaued, or maybe you're at a crossroads and trying to decide which path to take. There'll be weekly group meetings, training modules for each step of getting unstuck, resume and LinkedIn review, interview prep with a recruiting expert, one-on-one coaching sessions with me, and access to a Slack community for ongoing conversation. So email me, visit my website, or reach out to me on social media to chat more about how you can get unstuck and you can join the community and transform your career this May. Okay, back to regular scheduled program. Today I'm talking with Marie. Marie is proof that it is never too late to change careers. After years in communication and everything that covered, and a moment when life gave her a surprise she wasn't expecting, which, by the way, isn't that always the case? She decided to build her own company that focuses on the work she wants to do. So let's tune in and hear Marie's story. Hi, everyone. Welcome to today's episode. I'm so excited to have Marie with me today. She and I met through a Facebook group, I think, and sort of connected. I was looking for guests who have had amazing career stories, and she raised her hand. So I'm excited for her to share her journey. So Marie, if you could give a headline hello to everybody, and then we'll go deep into your story.
Yes. Thank you so much, Karen. Thank you for having me on your podcast. So my name is Marie Gettle Gilmartin, and I am the founder and principal of Fertile Ground Communications, which is a marketing communications consultant firm. We've been in business for about a year and a half, so still a baby business. And we cover any kind of writing, marketing communications that people need. A lot of times that's doing website development or content, or doing marketing or proposal management, things like that. My history is in the environmental consulting industry, but I've been helping clients from all different walks of life since then. So.
Excellent. Well, and I think that's always so interesting, because I think sometimes after people make the change, they kind of look back and they say, oh, there's parts of this I've always been doing along the way. It may have been different formats or different industries or different ways I was interacting with people, but some of the skills were always there. So let's actually, quote unquote, go back to the beginning. When you were first setting out on your adult life, you were having a career. What did you think you were going to be when you grew up?
Well, yeah, my career has taken some twists and turns. So when I went to college, I was an elementary ed major. I wanted to be a teacher. And both of my parents, interestingly enough, were teachers, but then they changed. My dad went into social work, and then my mom got a master's in counseling. So they left teaching, but I was determined to be a teacher. But then I took an advanced composition class my junior year, and my professor said to me, "Have you ever thought about majoring in English?" And planted a seed in my mind. And so I ended up changing my major to English.
Wow.
So I didn't know what I was going to do with it afterwards, right? So after I graduated from college, I ended up moving to Japan and teaching in Japan for three years. And it's sort of a classic example of the way my life has progressed, because I knew I wanted to live abroad and I applied for the job. I did not speak a word of Japanese. But I said to myself, okay, if I get this job, I'm going.
Wow.
So I got it. I had a month to get ready to go. And so I talked a friend of mine into going with me, she was waiting another year for graduate school. So I recruited her. Thank God. It was so much easier to have a friend with me. So, so I went off to Japan, in the 80s. So it was very different back then for foreigners. And then towards the end of my first year, I was planning to only stay a year, but I met my husband there.
Oh, wow.
So he was teaching as well. So I ended up staying another 2 years there.
Oh my gosh.
So So that was really an amazing part of my life. I have no regrets about that at all. So after that, I came back to Oregon. We got married and I started looking around for something I initially I wanted something in international development,
Okay.
international relations, but I didn't want to work for a Japanese company because of the sexism. So in the end, I did a lot of informational interviews, but I ended up temping and I got a temp job with a company called CH2M Hill.
Okay.
So CH2M Hill is no longer in existence, but it was an environmental engineering consulting firm. And it was actually, I'm from Oregon. It was actually founded in Oregon, but I'd never heard of it because I wasn't an engineer, right? So it was a global firm. I mean, when at its peak, it grew to 25,000 employees around the world.
Wow.
So it's huge, huge firm. But I was temping there. I started out as a receptionist and an admin assistant, and it was kind of a temporary sort of job. But then I found out they had an editing department. So I moved into the editing department and was started out, as a junior editor. And I said to my husband, if I'm here in 5 years, tell me leave, right? Well, I ended up staying there for 28 years.
Oh my
So isn't that
gosh.
amazing? So, and it
Wow.
was actually, it was actually a wonderful place for most of those years. I was able to use my English degree, which a lot of English
Yeah.
majors can't say, right?
When you first said
So,
editing this, the first thing I thought of is like, oh, wait, that's actually probably tied to her degree.
yes, exactly. So I started out as an editor, and then I realized that I actually liked writing better. I mean, I'm a very strong editor as well, but I actually liked being part of the creative process. So generally, the way that editing worked back in those days, it was before we all had computers. That's I'm aging myself here.
It's all good.
So we had a word processing department, and they had the computers. So we would write stuff out, or we would. Yeah, I don't think it was anything was really it, this was 1990 when I started. So anyway, the engineers would write proposals, which I don't know how much you know about the consulting industry. That's how consultants get their work. They respond to requests for proposals. So they would write proposals, and they would often write them at the very last second. And then the editors were expected to make them beautiful, with
Oh,
hardly any time. And I decided I did not want to live like that.
Yeah.
So I was one of the pioneers of the company for the proposal manager position. So
Wow.
what we did was we ran the process, and we told the engineers, okay, this is what you have to write. This is what we're going to write. We took charge as much of it as we could. So the technical stuff, of course, they still wrote, but we could write all the qualifications and, make sure everything went together. So I did that for a number of years. And then after I'd been there for maybe just 3 years, I was very young. I was probably like 29. I was promoted into supervisor of the technical publications group. And all of the people that I supervised were older than me. So I've always been a leadership sort of personality. I've kind of been called to leadership. So I ended up leading at a very young age. And while after I'd been there for 6 years, the company did all this re-engineering. So we were the Northwest was going to become the first mega region. So we actually the region was going to be, instead of just individual offices, would consist of Oregon, Washington, Hawaii, Alaska, and eventually Idaho joined that as well. So it was this mega region with, all these people. So there was a position for a regional publications manager that came up, and I was encouraged to apply by some really significant male mentors that I had in my life that were like, you should go after this. Like, no, I'm not qualified for that. No, you should do this, Marie. So I'm really grateful for them because they pushed me towards it, right? So I got the job, and
That's
I did that
amazing.
for 13 years. I managed 70 people around the Northwest who were, they were all creative professionals. So writers, editors, graphic designers, repro staff, document processing operators. So I did that for 13 years, and then we did more re-engineering. My job changed a number of times. So I got kind of a reputation in the company for reinventing myself over and over again. So I reinvented myself into marketing communications, which is something I was always really interested in. And I started dabbling in when I had this management role, full-time management role. But I really poured myself into that. And eventually, in the last several years before CH2M Hill got acquired by a much larger engineering firm, I was specializing in corporate responsibility, so sustainability and philanthropy, corporate philanthropy. And I loved that. I loved that, doing that kind of work. It was so much fun. I was the marketing communications manager for the C.S. Chisholm Hill Foundation that gave away $1 million a year. So I got to write about it. It was very fun.
Wow. Talk
So,
about doing some real, like purpose-driven work, even
yes,
within this huge
exactly.
organization.
Exactly. So it was really a walk the talk sort of thing. But the last couple of years there, this is how we get to your topic about the hamster wheel. The last couple of years there, I was in a toxic environment. I was reporting to the corporate communications department, and the woman who led that was really a toxic leader. And my supervisor, who reported to her, was somewhat less toxic, but still toxic. And I put up with it for far too long. It was a, the term the golden handcuffs. I was making too much money to really leave, right? So then the company got acquired. But backing up a little bit, one of my coworkers, who I loved, was really getting abused by our boss. She
Oh
was really
no.
horribly treated. She filed a complaint. I talked to a lawyer, the lawyer in the that was investigating, and I was very open with what I was seeing. And I wasn't experiencing it as much, but I was very upsetting to me to see how the way she was being treated. So I was open with what I was seeing. And I was, I'm kind of a Pollyanna. It's like, oh, I'm going to be, I'm nobody's going to touch me, right? So then after the company got acquired, and partly why we got acquired was that our great reputation in sustainability and corporate
Oh,
philanthropy.
wow.
But one of the very first things they did was to basically eliminate my position.
Oh,
So
no. Oh.
I got the notice that I the HR person appeared in my doorway,
Yeah.
and
Oh,
my boss
jeez.
was actually in Denver. But having had to lay off people so many times throughout my career, I knew exactly. It's like I saw her, and I said, okay, I know where we're headed here. So we went into the conference call with my boss, and I said, I know exactly what this is all about. But I actually was really grateful for that the company gave me the option to I had significant severance because I'd been there for so long. And they gave me the option to look for another job in the company or to leave. So I did look for another job, but I wouldn't have been able to stay in communications. And also knowing that the company still employed people who treated other people that way, I could not abide that thought, right? So I decided to take the severance, and amazingly, I got a new job within a month.
That is, especially after being somewhere for so long. To not be on the market very long, must have been like, you must have felt like your head was spinning. It was all happening so
And
fast.
everybody told me what a miracle it was. And it helped that the person who hired me in the smaller company in Portland was a former C.S. Chisholm Hill person. So he knew me. He knew my references, various things. So I thought this was my ideal job. I would be the first communications manager for this company. And from the very first day on the job, my first day was horrible.
Oh
So,
no.
and the
Oh.
CEO just did not have very good social skills at all. And so throughout the I was there for a year until they laid me off. So I got laid off like 2 years in a row,
Oh my
and
gosh.
so and it was because they were having financial problems. They thought they were going to be growing by leaps and bounds. And so, but again, I had, another toxic environment. My boss was really he could be incredibly charming and talented, and he was, I don't think he's a bad person, but he didn't know how to manage people. He did not know how to create a welcoming, affirming environment for his staff at all. He never managed people. My husband reminds me that the day that I when I finally when I got laid off, the week before I was talking about quitting, or how can I continue to work here? There were a number of things I saw going on that were really upsetting to me. So then the interesting thing was he let me go while I was in the middle of revamping their website. So he said, "Will you stay on for another month?" And so then I was in this untenable position of writing about how great the company was while they had laid me off.
Oh, that's awkward.
And they also had an incredible decision paralysis. So the process of updating the website took forever. So it took a lot longer. And so I ended up staying on working from home. This was before the pandemic, but working from home because I didn't want to be in the office. Working from home, and I did that for like 3 months. And then because they couldn't finish the website, long story. And then my boss, former boss, said to me, "Okay, we want you to become a contractor."
Oh, geez.
And for another month. So that is how my company got started. So I feel like a lot of the choices in my life have kind of landed in my lap, and I've made the best of them. They've all turned out for the best. And so this was yet another example of that. The way that I came up with my company name came to me one day as I was thinking about this, like, where, you know, I where what am I looking for as I'm creating a company? And the other thing is, I always thought about starting my own company. It's always been in the back of my head, but I never had the wherewithal to do it until I had to. So I realized that what I really was looking for was fertile ground. I needed fertile ground to be creative, to do what I felt like needed to be done, to create a company that really lived out my own values instead of trying to chase somebody else's dream or reporting to people I didn't respect. So that's how the name of the company came to me, Fertile Ground Communications. And so it still took me a while though. So that was like June 2018 that my company was born. And I was still applying for jobs because I thought that I needed, and backing up a little bit, I was the breadwinner. So I have three kids. My husband was a stay-at-home dad and a writer. And so I've always been the breadwinner. And so I felt that pressure.
Well, and especially creating a company so that you have an LLC for a contractor is very different than saying, I'm an entrepreneur. I'm going to be the founder and CEO of this company moving forward. Those are two very different thought processes.
Yes, exactly. So I am an LLC. I thought it sounded better to do it that way. But I don't suppose I really had to do it that way. But so I'm both an LLC and an entrepreneur. But my dream is to have a company where I can hire people. I'm definitely headed toward that direction. So I feel like I've throughout my life I've just been I feel like I've been handed opportunities instead of saying, okay, I'm going to go after this. So it was, but I so I was continuing to apply for jobs, thinking I needed the benefits and the security. And I was getting interviews, but every interview that I had was just not really right. It was not, you know, it was not, and I wasn't getting offers either because I was trying to move out of the industry. And after you have 30 years of experience, it's very difficult to move out of the industry. So I was really, it was very discouraging after having found a job so quickly before. So it was, you know, yeah, it was 2019 was, it says, 2018 was hard. And so at the beginning of 2019, I actually went started going to see a therapist. And she actually helped me get from I have to start my own business to I get to start my own business.
Oh, that's amazing.
So now I feel really, this year has been really a great opportunity for me to really get behind that. I'm 100% behind that. I still get job postings like via LinkedIn, and I just delete them. I don't even look at them anymore. So I'm all in, and I'm really excited about the company that I'm creating. It's still a long ways to go, obviously, to get, you know, till you're actually earning the money that you used to earn, but I'm excited about it.
Well, and I think what's so interesting is that as you described your internal opportunities at the consulting firm, from being, you know, starting as an admin to going to editorial to creating your own job. I mean, you actually were doing all the things that you do to start your own company, like inside and
Yes,
being open to new
absolutely.
experiences. So, you know, obviously it's a lot scarier when you're doing it on your own, but you actually, you're probably already had that mindset. You just had to bring it outside of your comfort zone of the parameters of a company.
Yes, that's a really good point. And a friend of mine, I've had a number of mentors who are consultants who've really been helpful to me. And one of them gave, she recommended a book like Getting Started in Consulting. And the first chapter is like, you know, these are the attributes that you have to start your own company. And I had all of those. You know, I am a little shy, believe it or not. I'm a shy extrovert. So that's been the hardest thing really, is being a little shy. But actually the pandemic has probably made it a little bit easier, you know. So I don't have to go to networking meetings, person, you know, face to face. So
It makes a big difference. Well, and especially because everybody's in the same place. So, doing something
Yes.
over Zoom, we're all just sort of sitting in our homes having these conversations. So it
Exactly.
kind of puts everybody on an even playing field.
It does.
Well, and I think it's so interesting because, especially because you're leveraging all the skills that you've built over the 30 years that you've been doing this, even though you've had different jobs, it's all been building. The fact that then you have to turn it into something that you're selling of yourself is also often a hurdle people have to go through, even when
Yes.
they know they can do
Right, exactly. That's a really good way to look at it. I like that.
it.
And I also am also really, I think that what I do best actually is I help people figure out what's special about them and help them share that with the world. That's what I've been doing all my life. So now I'm having to do it for myself, which is sometimes hard, but I know how to do it. You know, I know how to help people toot their own horns. So I just have to toot mine now, which is, you know.
Oh, doing it for yourself is you're always your hardest client,
I know.
100%.
I know exactly.
Well, and I think that's
Exactly.
often when people are making career changes, they have a hard time seeing how they can apply everything they've done to the next thing, even if it feels night and day of, whatever, teacher to engineer, there's absolutely things that you're bringing with you. So lean into those and let those be the thing that drive your confidence. The other things you can learn and you can figure those out.
Yes, exactly.
And so as you think about now looking back on your whole journey, first of all, I love the fact that you started a company as an admin assistant or secretary, whatever the exact role was, just to get into the company. I actually did something similar a couple of times, and maybe it was a lateral move, maybe it was quote unquote a step back, but I knew it would get me positioned to be in an amazing company where I could have a path that would take me a far distance. And I think that sometimes people kind of struggle with that decision a little bit.
Yeah, absolutely. And actually, before I started working for the editorial department, I actually applied for a job. It was an admin assistant job, and all men, they were all, they were nice guys, but they said to me, "Where do you see yourself in 5 years?" And I was honest. I said, "Well, I see myself in another position, moving on." And obviously, understandably, they hired the person who wanted to be a career admin assistant, right? And then I understand it totally. And then one of them said, "Did you know we have an editing department?" It's
Oh,
like, "No, I didn't
wow.
know that." So that was that was just the nudge that I needed, I guess. So yeah, I've been lucky to have those types of. I've always thought about, the golden ring in the middle of the carousel. I feel like I've always had some the golden rings appear have appeared in front of me throughout my life, and I just sometimes need a little nudge to go after them, but it's worked out for me approaching life that way.
Well, and I think that's something we actually don't talk a lot about on this podcast, but for folks who have gone through career changes, it's now our role to help others. So if you're interviewing someone, if you have someone on your team who maybe needs a little push in a different direction, you got that push or you got that support or that allyship. Now we have to pay it forward to others as well.
Yes, exactly.
Great. Well, I love your story. I love how it was building and building and building, and then you found this opportunity to shine, and you like needed a little bit of push to even go there. So, as you think about the things you've learned along the way, or the advice that you would share with others, what's one thing that you hope someone walks away from this conversation?
Well, back when I was managing a team, which I love that job, and when I would see people who are not, I just thought they weren't very happy in their jobs, I would always ask them the question, if you look at your job, are you happy for more than 50% of the time?
Oh, wow.
And if you're not, you need to find another opportunity. It's just life is too short to work somewhere where you're unhappy. You spend so much of your time at work, right? So even when I was in a toxic environment, because I'm an optimist, I always see the silver lining. But and even my last job where I had this, difficult relationship with my boss, I loved the team I worked with. I really did. So that's why I stuck around, right? So I would say to people that they should look at what they are doing and are they getting some enjoyment out of it? Are they, even if it's something as small as just enjoy your coworkers, are you getting something small enough out of that to make it worthwhile? And then the other thing that I have learned is that it's funny because I always liked those quotes like leap and the net will appear. I've always been drawn to those types of things, but really before I ended up starting my own company, I was terrified to do that. I was terrified to take the risk. So I would say to people that life is short and you should, you know, take the risk. Yeah. I interviewed somebody for my own podcast a few weeks ago, and she in her 20s, she knew that she wasn't a fit in the corporate world, that she mm-hmm. wanted to do something different. And I said, I really admire that that you knew so early, because it took me a while. And now I never want to work for a boss that I don't respect, you know, or a company that, you know, doesn't espouse my values. But it took me a long time to really feel strong enough to be able to say that, you know?
Yeah. So. Oh, absolutely. Well, and especially, you know, I believe that different generations kind of were brought up with certain expectations.
Right.
And so if you, whether that's generationally, family, sort of your background or ethnic upbringing, sometimes those play into what is expected of me as a grown up and as a career person.
Yes.
And you have to sort of break those barriers a little bit to take a risk on things.
Yes. And the other thing is, I'm just going to pull this up. This is my quote for the year, and it might be helpful for your listeners. This is from Howard Thurman, who was an author and civil rights activist. Mm. And this is a quote: "Don't ask what the world needs. Ask what makes you come alive and go do it. Because what the world needs is people who have come alive."
Oh my gosh.
Isn't that powerful?
I just feel like fade to black, podcast done. I don't need to say anything else.
I know. I love it. For the last 3 years, I've been using a word. I've been creating a word of the year, or like coming up with the word of the year. So my first, in 2018, the year that I started my business, my word, before I had to do that, my word was dance.
Mm.
And last year it was shine.
Oh, nice.
And this year it's thrive. So I'd chosen the word thrive, and then a friend shared that quote. It's like, oh my gosh, this is my quote of the year. So that's what I would say to your listeners, that, you know, think about what makes you come alive and find a way to do it. And for many years, working for the corporate world made me come alive. I loved my job. And so, you know, in most of my career, I have loved my job. I have not been bored. I've been constantly challenged. But I realized that for some of those years, working in toxic work environments was not good for me at all.
Yeah.
So if you're in a toxic work environment, you need to find a way to get out.
Well, and I think the other thing is it's okay. It doesn't matter when in your life that happens. You know, you mentioned someone in their 20s figured it out. Awesome. Kudos to them. If it takes you many, many years to figure it out, that's okay too.
Yes.
It doesn't mean you have to suffer the rest of your job life until you retire.
Like, right.
You get to make a change too.
Yes. It's never too late.
Yes, absolutely. Well, one, I'm actually going to ask a bonus question if you don't mind.
Sure.
We have a lot of folks that actually think about starting their own business or doing their own side gig. So I'm going to ask for a bonus piece of advice for folks that are listening that are thinking about starting their own thing, even if it's on the side. Any advice of like, oh, I wish I had known this when I started my own company?
Well, I think that starting on the side is the way to go. Really, you know, if you can do that, if you have enough bandwidth to do that, because it's, you know, it's hard. You have to, that would be the first thing. Start it on the side. And the other thing is prepare. I think that, you know, a friend of mine has a what she calls it, the effort bucket, which basically means that you put your money aside for the opportunity, and maybe the opportunity is starting your own business. Maybe it's going on taking a year off and traveling around the world, you know, put money aside for a rainy day.
Yeah.
So that would be the other piece of advice. And I think that the things that I've learned, the hardest things for me about being my own business person is that I really miss working with people.
Yeah. Yeah.
I've worked with so many talented people over the years. So I really miss that on a regular basis.
Mm-hmm.
So to be aware that you don't get as much opportunity to do that, unfortunately, you know, so that's been a little bit hard. But other than that, the thing that I've loved the most about it is I'm a highly creative person.
Mm-hmm.
So as I haven't had a lot of work lately, so I've been pouring my time into creating, you know, creating, doing my own podcast. I started in July, and then just doing a lot of writing and actually building, you know, building a business takes a lot of work.
Yes.
So I love to be able to apply my creative skills to that. So yeah. So have a side hustle. Make an effort bucket so you plan ahead, and then also explore, you know, what the world needs, what your passion is, and what the world needs. So
That's amazing. Well, thank you so much for sharing your story and your advice. We'll have all your contact information and the name of your company and everything in the show notes. But is there a best way people can reach out to you, or anything in particular you want to sort of call out for people to connect with you?
Yeah, my website's good, www.fertilegroundcommunications.com. That's probably the best way. And my email is marie@fertilegroundcommunications.com. The two plugs that I would include are, first of all, I've written an article on how to identify if you're working in a toxic work environment.
Nice.
So that might be helpful for some people to know if they should take the leap to get off the hamster wheel, right? And then the other thing is that my fun hobby has been my own podcast, which is about stories of grit and resilience. So I interview people with stories of things that they've overcome. And I've been inspired by my own story that way to create that kind of theme. So
excellent. Well, we will have links to the article and the podcast as well, so people can find them. Well, Great. Thank you again, Marie. It was so great having you on the show, and we really appreciate you sharing your story.
Thank you so much, Karen. It's been a really fun conversation.
Thank you again to Marie for sharing her story. You can find all her contact info in the show notes, so feel free to reach out to connect with her if you want to hear more. As you're enjoying these episodes, please consider subscribing, sharing them with others, and leaving a rating and review on the platform of your choice. Additionally, I offer one-on-one coaching, workshops, which the next one is April 22nd, and as I mentioned before, the group coaching program launching in May. Registration is now open, so let's connect. You can find all my contact information in the podcast overview. Until next time, remember, there's always a way to get off the hamster wheel.